Thank you very much for having me. Thank you for your welcome. Thank you for your generous introduction, for your hospitality. It's a pleasure to be with you today, as always. What a wonderful church this is. And sometimes I say things like, I'm so glad to be here, but I'm not actually telling the truth. This morning I am telling the truth. It is wonderful to be with you, and just a great church, a great presence of God. It's always a delight to be with my friends, Pastor Alan and Eleanor Hood, who are two of the most helpful and most encouraging people on the planet. And they are a great blessing to us and to so many. I was thinking today, so often when my phone rings, you know, names can flash up on the screen that just make you groan. And in fact, most of the names that flash up on my screen make me groan, but it's just such a wonderful thing to get a phone call from Alan Hood. And you say, how are you? And he says, oh, I'm doing exceptionally well, thanks. How about yourself? You know, he is just a shot in the arm of joy and strength. He's a great blessing to us. So you are blessed to have such great pastors who love you and care for you. Yeah, come on, let's put our hands together and encourage them. So do look after them and do encourage them, support them, pray for them. They do that for you. You do that for them. That's the deal. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to be preaching this morning out of 1 Corinthians 12. So if you have your Bibles, you're free to join me there. This evening, I'm going to be preaching a different message from this one. I'm going to be preaching a message out of the book of Acts about how the Spirit gives us boldness to face even frightening situations and to step up or step out even when we would rather step back. Now, statistically, one in three of my messages are quite good. So if you don't enjoy this message today, the chance that you will enjoy my message tonight increases to about 50-50. If you do enjoy this message, just quit while you're ahead. Just stay home. And if you do come and you don't enjoy it, you can't say that you weren't forewarned. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Let's read that together. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. I'm reading out of the ESV. Paul writes, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Now, there's a primary metaphor for us to work with here, and I want to devote most of my time to it this morning. The church is a body. Church is not an event that you come to. It is a body that you are a part of. Now, what does that mean? What does that look like? We're going to get to that. But before we do that, I also want to say that in a very, very real way, the church is also a family. So the church is a body. The church is also a family. And that isn't at all trite sentimentality. After all, it is fundamental to the universal Christian experience that, as Paul says in Romans 8, you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you have received the Spirit, by whom we cry. God puts his Spirit in us personally. He puts his Spirit within your heart, and then we, that is all those who have experienced this, we then collectively, all together, call on him as Father. All of us are calling on the same person, calling on him as Abba, Father. And so that means that in a profoundly real way, we are brothers and sisters. With all of the benefits and all of the challenges and all of the responsibilities that go along with that. This is God's vision for the church. It is a breathtakingly amazing thing that the Spirit of God does. He pulls together a company of people like this. This is what God does. He takes people, he pulls together people with profoundly different backgrounds and all kinds of diverse interests with all kinds of unique perspectives, wired in all kinds of different ways. He pulls us all together and he calls us to live together in community and he says, love one another. Why? Because that which unites us together is greater and stronger than the sum total of all that might divide us. We are united together as a family with a Father. So with that said, we are the body of Christ. And you, individually, are members of it. It's really straightforward. It's really clear. Now, one of the things that I really appreciate about this picture is the way that it presents difference and diversity. The way that I presented difference and diversity before when I was talking about the church being like a family is as if it was something that needed to be overcome if we were to have a functional unity. Like, isn't it a miracle that God can do this? He can bring us together, and he can cause us to work together, and he can cause us to love one another like a family, even though we are so different and so diverse. And that is true to the glory of God. But here's the picture. We are actually also dependent on our diversity. We are reliant on our differences. We really won't have the kind of unity that we need to have, and we won't be able to function like we're supposed to if we don't leverage our diversity and our differences to work together in unity. So our diversity and our differences are a strength, not a weakness. They are an asset to be leveraged in the pursuit of unity, not an obstacle to be overcome. So, at this point, I have two very simple, very pragmatic things to say about how we can leverage our diversity and our differences in order to function effectively. The first thing to say is this: everyone, every member of C3 City Church is responsible to play a part in the life and the function of the church. This is a family. This is a body. There is a part for you to play. And if you don't play it, somebody else will have to pick up the slack. Now, of course, we understand that there are seasons of life and there are circumstances in life in which people need to take a break from serving and the rest of us just kind of naturally have to pick up the slack. A certain amount of slack to pick up is inevitable in a community in which members get sick or have babies, for example. But what we don't want is to use up all of our capacity to pick up slack in efforts to pick up the slack for people who really could be pulling their weight and really could be playing their part, but they just don't because they just don't want to. We have a saying at my home church, C3 Grow: we want everybody in the church to be Martha sometimes so that everybody in the church gets to be Mary sometimes. In other words, we want everybody in our church to do a little bit of work so that everybody in our church gets to do a lot of worship. And if we truly get this, and if we let it move us to assume our responsibility to play a part in the life and the progress of our church, honestly, it would cause us to skyrocket forward. If you are a member here, if you are a member of the family, a member of the body, there are responsibilities associated with your membership. And the responsibility is to participate. The responsibility is to play a part. The responsibility is to add your voice and to bring your gift mix into the mix. Amen? So that's the first thing. The first thing is that everybody, each member of C3 City Church, is responsible to play a part in the life and the function of the church. But then, once we move beyond that, we move on to the next stage. And the next stage is way more exciting. The next stage is way better. So we've said everybody's responsible to play a part, right? Sometimes dishes have got to get done. Sometimes vacuums floors have got to be vacuumed. No one has a spiritual gift of vacuuming. It's just stuff that needs to be done around here, right? So, but once we move beyond that, every member of C3 City Church is to discover and play their part. Not just a part, their part in the life and the function of the church. That is the part that they were designed and have been assigned to play. Just like your body functions best when all of the different parts of your body play the part that they were designed and created and assigned to play, so too the body of Christ is the same. In other words, the body functions much better when the ear does the ear stuff and the hands do the hand stuff and the liver does the liver stuff. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, and each has received a gift. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Ultimately, where we want to get to as a church is for everyone who is able to serve, serving in areas or in roles that correspond with their gift. You have been given a gift, and you will find that using it to serve others is the most rewarding way to make a contribution. Now, if you're wondering how you might be gifted, and if you're wondering what area you might be called to contribute to, I think a really good place to start is to ask this question. What's the thing that I'll notice if and when it's not done well? Start there. For example, some people can't bear to think about a first-time visitor not getting a good welcoming experience. Well, that's probably because you've been wired and gifted to do something about that. Other people are almost oblivious to first-time visitors, but they can't bear to think about the children not learning about Jesus. That's probably because they've been wired and gifted to do something about that. Some of you couldn't care less what happens at City Church Kids, so long as you don't need to be out there with them. But you can't stomach the church having shabby, thrown together graphics and media. Well, that's probably because you've been wired and gifted to do something about that. So my advice to you would be to think generally about what it is that you'd notice if and when it's not done well, and then let that guide you in conversation, looking to do something to help to improve the life and the function of the church along those lines. So step one is sometimes getting you to play a part. And then step two is getting you to play your part. the part that utilizes your particular gifts and abilities and corresponds most fittingly with who God has created you to be in Christ. Looking again at our text in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says in verse 17, he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Now understand this. Within the body of Christ, there is no one individual who can do everything that the church is called to do. No matter how godly or anointed or handsome they are, no matter how gifted they might be in any given way. In fact, oftentimes it's actually the case that the people who are strongly gifted in one area are woefully inept and have massive blind spots in other areas. They are a really good eye. And that's great because we need that sense of vision and sight. But they don't really bring the sense of hearing that the body needs to the table. That's why we need the ear. Because we don't just need the ear. If we just had the ear, we wouldn't have the sense of smell that we need to function at our best. The ear is great at hearing, but it's terrible at smelling. The ear is terrible at thinking. It's terrible at feeling. It's terrible at breathing. It's terrible at a lot of things that the other parts of the body are brilliant at doing. And so Paul says, and I'm reading now from 1 Corinthians 12:17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. God has arranged us in this way. God has designed us in this way, and it's genius. He's made it so that we need each other. He's made it so that if you thought that you weren't significant enough to be needed by us, 1 Corinthians 12 is going to confront you on that. Verse 15 and 16. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. So we need you. But he's also made it so that if you thought you're so capable and you're so self-sufficient and you're so gifted and strong that you don't need others, 1 Corinthians 12 is going to confront you on that as well. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We need you. You need us. We need each other. That's a church. The church is not an event that you go to. It's a body that you are a part of. And the future of the church begins here and now, if and when we all make the decision together to be committed to this place, to be committed to one another, to be committed to the body that God has arranged us to be in, through thick and thin, through highs and lows, in the ups and downs, knowing that this is not a perfect church, with perfect pastors, knowing all of that, are you committed enough to bring your gift to the table and to play your part? If enough of us say, yes, I am, and we commit to work together, as I said, you'll skyrocket forward. And I'm praying that that would be the case here. Right, can I ask the band to come up? Maybe about 5 minutes ago, you may have thought I had a stroke, just for a moment. But in that moment, I felt God really lead me to do something, which is what we'll do now. Just in the time that we have, maybe 10 minutes or so. And then I want to give people an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, just so you know what's coming up, okay? Kerry Lee, is it? Yeah. Kerry Lee said something before that I think really resonated with me when she said, you know, this is not a concert. This is not a concert. And I think everybody kind of said amen to that. But do you know what the difference is between the difference maker, the thing that will make this different from a concert, is you. It's your participation. If you don't engage, if you don't participate, Kerry Lee can say it's not a concert all she likes. And she can pray that it won't be a concert all she likes. But it'll be a concert. I think one of the effects of COVID, I think one of the effects of the lockdowns in particular, is that many of us lost some spiritual muscle. We lost it through a lack of use, through the disruption of our habits. And I see all over the place a rise in spectators in church. Through no real fault of their own, they just are following their noses, and it's very easy, you know, when you've lost a bit of spiritual muscle to drift back into being a spectator in the prayer meeting, a spectator in the worship meeting. You know, it's, I'm not having a go here, I'm just saying, hey, maybe we just need to have a moment where just for 5 minutes or so, we all engage. Because more than anything else, what we're here to do this morning is host God. All of us together. So I wonder if we could just stand. And we're not going to sing a song. It's great to have you up here. But we're not going to sing a song. We're just going to provide something instrumental. And we're a Pentecostal church, yeah? We are a Pentecostal church. So if you sing in the Spirit, I want you to just begin to do that now and just lift your voices. Now, if you don't, that's okay. But you just, in your understanding, let's just have 5 minutes where we fix our eyes, we fix our gaze, and just in your understanding, you can praise God. You say, thank you, Lord. Let's not let the singers sing for us. Let's just sing a new song to the Lord now for the next 5 minutes or so. And when you find yourself drifting back into spectator mode, reset again. We're hosting God, eh? So come on, let's lift our voices right across this place and just begin to give God praise. Thank you, Lord. Surrender. We give you praise. Glory to you, our God, our King. Great are you, Lord. Higher than any other, greater than any circumstance. Thank you, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you didn't leave us as orphans, but you sent us your Spirit. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Come and teach us to pray. Teach us to worship. Now, I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit here. I feel there's an open heaven. And I know we did the prayer needs before, and that was a beautiful moment. But right now in this moment, make your requests known to God. Make your requests known to God. Just right in this moment. And if you've had an answer to prayer, if you've had a breakthrough, give him praise. Give him thanks for it. Just right now, we've opened heaven. Now let's talk with God, shall we? Just for the next minute, okay? Just all for another minute. Just engage with God. Come on, right from the front to the back, let's give God some praise this morning. Amen. 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 Now, I wonder if every week, we could enter through those doors. At the start of the service, with this attitude, you are the body of Christ, and individually, we are members of it. You are all now a part of the worship team. You're all a part of the worship team. And it's you that'll make the difference. Between this being a concert or this being a holy gathering where people meet God. Amen? Amen. Just be seated just for a moment. I've just got one more thing to do. I want to take a moment now to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus. And I'm especially interested in talking now to those who are here who are not Christians or who have wandered or drifted away from the Christian faith. And I want you to take a moment to hear my appeal to you. The most important message in all of the world is the message of the gospel. This is the message that this church and every true church is built on. And it's good news. The reason why it's such good news is that it helps us to confront the bad news. The bad news is that you, like me, are a sinner by nature and by choice. In fact, you and I are not alone. all of mankind has sinned and we fall short of the standard of God's righteousness. Sin separates us from God and from one another. And without atonement, that means if this issue is not addressed, sin leads to death and to the eternal condemnation and punishment of hell. The Bible talks about our sin as being like a bad debt, which means that none of us, by our own good deeds or our own attempts at righteous living, can pay the debt that we owe to God on account of His holiness and our sin. Now, that's the bad news. But this is where the good news of the gospel kicks in, and this is where we see the good news shine so brightly. The good news is that God, seeing that we were powerless to pay the debt that we owe, He sent His Son, Jesus, who lived a perfect, sinless life and then died on the cross to pay the debt for your sin and for the sins of all mankind. He then rose from the dead 3 days later, overcoming death, so that through Him, by His grace, you can have newness of life. If you put your faith and your trust and your hope in Jesus, He will forgive your sins and He will make you to become a new creation. You can be reconciled to God and you can have eternal life with God. So I want to invite you today to turn away from sin, to turn away from self-reliance, to turn towards Christ. If you'll give Him your sin and trust Him for forgiveness, He will give you new life. So here's what I want to ask you to do today. If upon hearing the gospel now, you'd like to put your trust in Him for the forgiveness of your sins, receive the life that He has for you. Or if you've been away from Him and you'd like to come back to Him today, I'd love to pray for you. I'm going to ask everybody right now, right across the place, even behind me, we're going to close our eyes. That's not because there's anything magical about closing your eyes. This is just to afford everybody the comfort of privacy. So with all eyes closed, if you'd like for me to pray for you today, or for someone to pray for you today, if you'd like to say yes to Jesus, or if you'd like to come back to faith in Jesus today, I want you right now to just do something brave. Go ahead and lift your hand nice and high so that I can see it. As soon as I see it, I'll acknowledge it, and then you can put it down. If that's you, put up your hand nice and high. Yes, I see that hand. Are there others here? Yes, I see that hand. Are there others here? Just slip up your hand nice and high. We'd love to pray for you after the service. Yes, I see that hand. Two hands down there. Yep. Are there others here? Okay, we've had about 4 or 5 people raise their hands. Just so we're absolutely sure, just before we all open our eyes, if you raised your hand, can you just put up your hand nice and high one more time so that we make sure that we see it? Yep. Great. Fantastic. Okay, let's all open our eyes. Let's put our hands together and congratulate those 4 or 5 people. Now, what I'm going to do, because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm completely unfamiliar with what we do next here. And so I'm going to hand it over to Shannon. And Shannon's going to take us from here. Let me just quickly pray for you all. By the way, remember, now, if you didn't enjoy that message, to be honest, last week was as well. So I think the chances are pretty good tonight. Okay? Honestly, I think I'm in for at least mediocre, maybe even good. And if you did, we believe in a God of miracles. It's Pentecost Sunday. You might get a rare 2 in a row. We'll see how we go. Let me just pray. Father, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for the body We're a family. We're a body. Make today a moment for us as a church when we step into something that you have for us in the area of worship and in our shared life together. I pray that you'd bless this church, cause it to be in good health, and to have a great impact for our neighbors. We ask this in your magnificent name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, City Church.